Sahana Vavatu Sahana Bhunaktu Sahaviryam Karavavahai Tejasvinavaditamastama Vidyavishavahai Om Shanti 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 Om Jaya Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Shivasari Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama 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 Hare Hare.
Okay, page 48. Narad Muni continued, during these periods of seasonal change, if one bathes in the Ganges, in the Jamuna, or in another sacred place, if one chants, offers fire sacrifices, or executes vows, or if one worships the Supreme Lord, the Brahmanas, the forefathers, the demigods, and the living entities in general, whatever he gives in charity yields a permanently beneficial result. O King, at the time prescribed for reformatory ritualistic ceremonies for oneself, one's wife, or one's children, or during funeral ceremonies and annual death ceremonies, one must perform the auspicious ceremonies mentioned above in order to flourish in fruitive activities. Right? So if you want material benefits, then this is what is done. Like that. But for the devotees, then they're not so much interested in the material benefits. They're interested in serving Krishna. So instead of doing these activities just at this time, they're always doing it. So it means they're also doing it at these times. So when it's mentioned, devotional service takes care of the material and the spiritual. Material is taken care of because at the time when you get material benefit, you're also doing devotional service. Does that make sense? But for the materialist, at least minimum, he'll do proper activities at these times. So that's why there's so many and why it's so complicated. Because they want material facility, therefore there's so many times when they can get it, so they'll be focused to get that. So that means they have to have the astrology, they know the timings, they know everything, so they have to be very aware. You know, you want material, then you have to be aware. So then they'll get it. But otherwise they won't get it. But for the devotee, it's already being done on these days anyway. Because you're doing, you're chanting your 16 rounds, you're doing it every day.
It's every day?
You missed that one. Okay. Oh well. Never too late. Okay. Okay, does that make sense? So, because we're already doing all these, all the recommended things on every day, therefore then there's no problem. We don't have to worry. That's why it says the devotee doesn't have to worry about the rules and regulations because he's already following it. Right? But the things that we're supposed to do in devotional service, if you count those as karma kanda rituals, then you have a problem. A serious problem. Right? So devotional service means we do all these things as has been given by the acharyas. So Lord Chaitanya explained deity worship, you know, to Sanatana Goswami, to Rupa Goswami, devotional service to Rupa Goswami, and then basically using the same thing. But then they bring out different angles of it. Sanatana Goswami will be explaining the ritual part of it and what's behind the ritual, and Rupa Goswami will be explaining the devotional mood behind that and why. Like you see is that for sadhana bhakti, in other words, the basis of the full first, part, you know, it's 19 chapters. It's based off of the information in the sixth chapter, which is taken from Hari Bhakti Vilas. Right. So sadhana bhakti is based on that. And so then that for us, that's what we do. We don't have to worry about more. For us, that will look like a lot. But now we're just talking about one of the things, and it gives all the timings which are auspicious to do things. Then there'll be so many others. So, you know, instead of taking, what does that take? That takes 3 to 4 pages. you know, on a small book, so an A5. You know, so that means, you know, here's quite a bit if it was on an A5. So this is just on timing. And now if you take everything else you have to consider, then it would be huge. So that's what it means by we don't follow the rules. It means we follow our own rules, which already include the Vedic rules. Because Pancharatra is the extracted rules from Veda that apply to direct worship of the deity. Right? That's why it's called Ekayana. It's focused just on the Lord. Not, there's no demigods involved. So because of that, that's there. So we're already following the Vedic rules. What it means is we don't have to follow rules the Vedic rules outside of Ekayana. So what, in other words, what's given to us by Narad Muni, what's given to us by Rupa Goswami, then we follow that, then everything's good. So it means rules that are outside of that. That's what we mean by we chant, we don't have to follow the rules. Right? So only if you come to the Bhagavat platform where all you do is chant and you're not involved in any way of engaging the senses and the sense objects, you know, other than in connection with Krishna, that means anything. Then you can not follow the Pancharatric rules and just chant. Does that make sense? But that means you just chant. So you don't necessarily worry about your morning bath because you're chanting. And there's an opportunity, you take it. If there's not, you don't. Because you're going to be chanting. Does that make sense? That's what's meant. So the whole point of is that we pick and choose what we want to follow and not, you know, and things that we don't relate to, then we call that, then that's too many rules, and things we can relate to, then we, you know, everybody has to do that, and, you know, like that. That's not the position. What's given to us by the acharyas we follow, and because we do it in devotional service, therefore it's on the platform of Nitya Kriya. Because everything here you find is naimittic. Occasionally they do these things. Right? But we're doing on a daily basis. So therefore, it's different. So their Nitya Kriyas and our Nitya Kriyas are different. Right? For us, devotional service, that's the Nitya Kriya. Right? And naimittic then means other further devotional activities that we do, like Ekadasi or Janmashtami, they're occasional. It's like we have Ekadasi every day. Right? But, yeah. Verses 27 to 42. The glories of the Dham, the Brahmanas, and the Vaishnavas. Narad Muni continued, now I shall describe the places where religious performances may be well executed. Right, so that was the timings. Now for the places. Any place where a Vaishnava is available is an excellent place for all auspicious activities. Right, so that's the main thing. So where there's devotees, that's the place to be doing devotional service. Right? But otherwise, for the non-devotees, then there'll be a whole list of all the different things where they can do devotion, their service. The Supreme Personality of Godhead is the support of this entire cosmic manifestation, with all its moving and non-moving living entities. And the temple where the deity of the Lord is installed is the most sacred place. Furthermore, places where learned Brahmins observe Vedic principles by means of austerity, education, and mercy are most auspicious and sacred. Auspicious indeed are the places where there is a temple of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in which he is duly worshipped, and also the places where there flow the celebrated sacred rivers mentioned in the Puranas. The supplementary Vedic literatures. Anything spiritual done there is certainly very effective, right? So where there's devotees, where there's temples, where the sacred rivers are, like that, where those who are practicing the Vedic culture, that's why a Vedic culture is accepted, it becomes an auspicious place. Anything done there, you get greater benefit. It means we're interested in the spiritual benefit, but also you become liberated and you get material benefit. So then you have a community that is opposed to the Vedic rituals, and then they want to get benefit from their material activities. How smart is that? Eh? Does that make sense? That's the whole point. Is if we ourselves produce the results of our action, then yes, don't worry about these things. But if someone else is in control of that action and reaction, then wouldn't it be good to please them? So since that's the Supreme Lord, and his method of performing activities for action and reaction, then is the Vedic system, therefore we would want to follow that, for whatever reason. So in other words, since the Lord is the cause of everything, he is, you know, the activities you can perform, he's the results you can get. Right? He being everything. Therefore, the minimum position of human life is following the Vedic culture. Right? Following Varnashram, because that will create auspiciousness. Now, what are the three forms of auspiciousness you can take? One, the lowest is material benefit. So you get good material facility, elevation of the heavenly planets, this, that, blah. Higher than that, liberation. You get out of the material world, you don't have to worry about all that stuff. But the highest is actually devotion. So in other words, following God's laws, that's theistic. And using it to please God, now that's the most intelligent. You know, being theistic, accepting God's laws, but following his laws for material purposes, that's your lowest. But not following God's laws and expecting to get everything material out of it and please God, now that means there's something wrong. You know, it's just like for, let's say it's your mom's birthday, and so for her birthday you're going to have a baseball match in the living room. You know? And when she says, you know, no, it's like, why not? We're doing this for you. It's you know, it's like that. It's fun. It's great. You know, don't be so grumpy. Don't be so old-fashioned. Don't, you understand? Like that. You know, we moved on. You know, why are you attached to these archaic concepts? You understand? So, okay. But the point is it has a place. You want to play baseball, go outside. Then it's fun. So Krishna gives time, place, and circumstance for everything. You follow that, then that can be offered to the Lord. That's great. But when we make it up, then that's not going to work out very good. So that's why Narad Muni's pointing this out. But you see, is we're always where there's devotees, where there's saintly persons, where there's temples, for the sake of, so therefore, we're always in the best place. But for others, they have to actually go there. Does that make sense?
Yes.
You know, it's just like their home is, you know, not a nice place because they're not devotees. But then, you know, once a year for some, like let's say for Kali Puja, then they all go down to the Ganges. And then they do their puja and this and that, and then they go back home where it's again nonsense. So at least they got that benefit. They did something auspicious because the Shastra said. But we're always doing so. Wherever we are, then that becomes perfect. Does that make sense?
Yeah. Auspicious means can mean different things for different kind of yogis.
Like, means it's always going to be it's always going to be progressive, whether it's karma, jnana, or bhakti.
Progressive towards pure devotion service.
Means ultimately, but progressive. Let's say you want karma. What do you want from karma? You want money. You want facility. You want respect. You want beauty. You want all this kind of stuff. Hmm? Everything, yeah, it's like that. When we were at Calcutta, I was in Vrindavan, and there was this decal on the window of a car that went by, and it was very simple. It says, "All I want is everything." You know, simple. Yeah, it's not complicated. You know. Like that. So as long as it gets you what you want, that's progressive. So the karmis want material facility, it's progressive for that. The jnanis want liberation, it's progressive for that. The devotees want bhakti, it's progressive for that. Does that make sense? So, but it's auspicious because it generates positive results. Inauspicious means it's an environment that doesn't get the results. Therefore, people have their own ideas of what should happen, and nothing much happens. It's potential. Like a modern kind of thing, everyone gets together. It's, let's say they have a party. It's not necessarily that they're happy, but everybody's happy at the idea that there's the potential to become happy because the party's supposed to make you happy. So they're all there at the party. But it's not necessarily they become happy, but there's potential. So everyone's there and kind of hoping maybe something will happen. Maybe, but it's they're waiting for the modes of nature to do it. They're saying, no, we're in control. They're not in control. They leave it up to the modes. And then the modes produce, so it was a great party. Modes don't produce, it wasn't a great party. So then the whole point is that's our point, is that since it's about someone else controlling it anyway, why not follow the laws of who makes the rules? You know, instead of all this arguing why we don't have to follow anything. Yeah? Okay. Srila Prabhupada comments, there are many atheists who oppose the worship of the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead in the temple. In this verse, however, it is authoritatively stated that any place where the deity is worshipped is transcendental. It does not belong to the material world. Right? Because otherwise, it's an interesting phenomena. The Mayavadis who say everything's one, and there's no difference between anything, and so then everything's Brahman, will not go in a Vishnu temple. They just won't. Like that. But if everything's one, then what's the problem? But they actually won't. They might go into a Shiva temple or this, but they will not go into a Vishnu temple. You know? Fearful. Strange, but...
Inconsistent.
Yeah, it's inconsistent.
Fearful that they may have to change.
Yeah, yeah. You know, you have to go in, you have to bow down and all this and that. Well, you know. Yeah, so they just won't. Yeah, so that's what it means. That the atheists, they don't like to... It's transcendental. It is also said that the forest is in the mode of goodness. That's for a human being to live there. The animals that are there in the mode of ignorance, but the you know, and all the trees and everything. But to live there for a human being, that's the mode of goodness. And therefore, those who want to cultivate spiritual life are advised to go to the forest. Vanam gato yad dharim ashrayet. Srimad Bhagavatam 7.5.5. But one should not go to the forest simply to live like a monkey. Monkeys and other ferocious animals also live in the forest. But a person who goes to the forest for spiritual culture must accept the lotus feet of the Supreme Personality of Godhead as shelter. Varam gato yad dharim ashrayet. One should not be satisfied simply to go to the forest. So this idea is, okay, yes, let's go to the farm and things like that. It's a better place and nicer and better for the kids. But then they live the same city lifestyle and it's not necessarily more devotional, maybe even less. And then that's Prabhupada's point out. That's not what we mean. Like that. In this age, therefore, since it is impossible to go to the forest for spiritual culture, one is recommended to live in the temple community as a devotee. Regularly worship the deity, follow the regulative principles, and thus make the place like Vaikuntha. The forest may be in goodness, the cities and villages in passion, and the brothels, hotels, and restaurants in ignorance. But when one lives in the temple community, he lives in Vaikuntha. Therefore it is said here, Shreyasam Padam, it is the best, most auspicious place. Interesting. Forest is goodness, cities and villages, passion and brothels, hotels and restaurants, ignorance. Yeah, because I guess in those three, it is about ignorance. It's just about the bodily concept. Right? It means the cities and villages, there's more of a concept, the social, but the social environment is for a profit. Right? How to generate profit. Like that. While brothels, hotels, and restaurants, then it's about ignorance, about the bodily concept, and about sense gratification.
Mm-hmm. Hotels here is referred to the sense of places of imbibing alcohol. That means hotel?
It simply means a public place where you can come and get basically, how you say, food and board. Before it would be like, you know, your standard things. Downstairs is like a restaurant, and upstairs they have places to stay. You know, so, and there's the inside, there's the outside. So all the weirdo guys sit outside and just sit there and hang and chat and, you know, just pure nonsense. And someone more, a little more serious goes in and there and then upstairs like that. So they all go together. But then while it's upstairs, then also, then they might have, you know, how you say, girls for rent along with it. So, you know, that's why they can be all one thing. So previously, much of the time, they're all one entity. You know, hotels have restaurants, they have all these things. Yes.
Does it also refer to the fact that you don't
maintain the hotel? You go, you stay, you leave, someone else comes in and...
Yeah, could be also, yeah. But also you think of enjoyment when you go to the hotel. Mm-hmm. You know, if you're a house, you take care of it like this. Here it's more about enjoyment, so it's more about how much you can use of the hotel room.
Right.
That, you know, in other words, if you use the towel and then fold it back up and put it down, that wouldn't, you wouldn't feel you're getting your money's worth. But if you take it, so when you leave the room, it looks like a bomb hit it. Then you can see we got our full benefit. You know, everything's been used, tampered with, poked at. You know, everything's been tipped over. Or, you know, whatever you can use for free has been used. You know.
Or taken,
yeah.
It's like a break from nitya duties.
Yeah, yeah. It's just, you know, someone else. So, yeah, I think that would be a good point. Because you don't care. You know, the hotel's the same. You're there. You're the big guy. You know. And so, but, you know, you same thing at home. Make the same thing at home. And then, you know. Yeah, it doesn't exactly work like that.
Restaurant, you're not performing the duty of cooking for the Lord. You just go somewhere and eat.
Yeah. So it has all those. Yeah, that's also probably why it recommends that technically, unless he has to, but it's not your first choice that a Brahmin wouldn't choose a restaurant as a, as an occupation. Like that. So it could be for that reason, because people won't deal with you nicely. You know, others doing it's fine, but because they'll always be insulting because they think they own the place because they came to buy your sandwich. You know, so then that could be why it says Brahmins shouldn't. Because the tendency, the mood of the people that come there is in ignorance, so therefore. I mean, it's for devotees, and that's another thing. Because then it's transcendental getting benefits, so then the preaching and all that kind of aspect. But as a regular thing, then it's not so recommended. Okay. Yes?
So I would think that the village is in goodness because it's like it's a farm place, but...
But no, but what's the whole point of the village? What are they trying to do?
Have their family there.
Yeah, and that is a particular mode here.
Oh, okay, so it's...
It said the guy's living in this, you know, little thatched hut, and the thatch is kind of leaking in a few places. Now... If he could arrange a little bit bigger house with a better roof, would he do it? Mm-hmm. But it's a village. Okay, and then you have this nice scenario, these open lands and everything like that, and then you develop it along its natural form, and then after coming back after a few hundred years, what do you have?
City.
Manhattan was a farm. I mean, straight up farms. Broadway was there, a couple other streets. I'm not sure what. Only a few streets were there. Those were farms. All the farms were off of that. It was just farmland. Not even so much residential. It's just big. Because you lived on the mainland. Who wants to live out on an island, right? So they lived on the mainland and then went out there. Probably a few people lived there, but, you know, like that. And then how you say? You know, it developed. I think the Dutch had, they were the ones living on it. And then it developed, and so that farmland developed into a bit of a village, into a bit of a city, into, what do you call them?
Metropolis,
yes. You know, I don't think they just didn't get the, you know, Spider-Man or, you know, Batman or something that you're supposed to get when you get a metropolis. I mean, why does Chicago get, New York doesn't get? You know, that doesn't sound right. So, does that make sense? So it's just, the whole mood is that, it's just on a simpler level. It's just that there's more ignorance and some passion. But as they can increase the passion, then they do.
So when it says in the forest, like the forest is goodness, does that mean like, right in the forest, or just like on the edge of the... Like,
that means quite foresty.
Mm-hmm.
It means you're in the forest and you just set up a cottage in the forest.
Okay.
Right? Because do brahmacharis do farming? Mm-hmm. What about vanaprastas? Sannyasis? No. So therefore, they live in the forest. Does that make sense? That's what it means.
But these days they don't. So what's the equivalent of devotees?
Living in the forest.
Yeah.
Living in the tom.
Okay.
So that's why he says, Prabhupada says, since that's not very practical, it's just where the deity is, where the devotees are, where devotional service is being performed, then you're in the auspicious place. Because the point is that the best is the mode of goodness, but then you being in the devotional environment, that's transcendental, that's pure goodness. So that's even better. So even if one's in the city, it's not about being in the city, it's about being with devotees.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? If you're there because you like the city, then that's a problem. If you're there because there's devotees there, then that's what's nice.
So why isn't it practical? Is it because, you know, there's not kshatriyas killing the tigers and there's dangerous?
Because if you took one, I mean, it's practical meaning who's going to live out there?
Well, that's, yeah, but...
Okay, just like this. Okay, let us just for a, how do you say? Random example, take a farm, okay? Mm-hmm. And let's take a farm, let's say, north of Sydney, south of Brisbane. West of the gold, you know, the sunshine, Gold Coast, like that. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of got a general idea? Okay. That's like 750 acres, like that. Right?
Yeah.
And probably some 100 devotees or more are living there. Mm-hmm. Right? How many people farm?
About 5.
Okay. But how is that farm maintained? Because more than that actually work.
They do food, like,
shrub. No. But I'm saying, how is it that the stuff is being grown, actually? Because those 5 don't do everything. They have help from another 15, 20.
Yeah.
And those 15, 20 are devotees?
No.
No, they're woofers.
Yeah.
Okay. So, that's the whole point, is that farm goes on because there's woofers who have this, you know, idyllic of living on an organic community, doing some things like that, and then people are saying, you know, it's just they want to spend their year of, what do you call that, in between classes?
A gap year
or something, you know, between either high school and college, or sometime they can take a year off.
Mm-hmm.
It's just like you're allowed. Mm-hmm. And so then traveling the world, but they'd rather do it in a little bit more kind of, you know, idyllic kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? So they're doing it. And everybody else, where do they work?
In the town.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know.
So that's why it's impractical.
Okay.
Because, what do you call it? I can say, you can take the man out of the city, but you can't take the city out of the man. Right? You understand? So that's the problem, is that to live on a farm means you have to work. You have to work not just when you want, but when you have to.
Yeah.
You know, and it's in connection with nature. So that means you have to work in the morning because the day it gets hot.
Yeah.
You have to plow today because if you plow tomorrow, the ground's too dry. If you wanted to plant yesterday, then it's too wet. So today's perfect. You know, so those kind of things like that, you have to plan ahead. You have to, and that's way too much for people to do.
Okay, so I'm trying to understand why it was okay to live in the forest before and now it's not.
It means the point is because no one wants to live there. And where's the forest?
But if you're in the mode of goodness...
You know, just saying, where is the forest?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
So there's not enough people in the mode of goodness?
Yeah.
Okay. And the forest is gone.
Yeah. So you put those two together, two good reasons. No one's interested in the mode of goodness, and there is no forest. Put that together, and then you get the city.
Okay.
And it's just like I was impressed the last time I was in New York. I don't know when it was. It was sometime back in the noughties. And in kind of, I think where I saw it was on the Upper West Side. You know, it's all next to Central Park and all that. They had actually planted trees along the streets. Otherwise, New York, it's you have the street, which is asphalt, then you have the curb, which is cement, then you have the sidewalk that's cement, then you have the stairs, which is cement, then you have the building. And that was pretty standard. I mean, there used to be trees a long time ago, but, you know, since they all died from the pollution or something. So, but they actually planted trees again. I was shocked.
Weird. I'm asking.
In the cement?
Yeah, in the cement. They took out a few tiles of the cement and put a tree, you know, every so many things like that. And then when they get big and all that, and then the birds sit in, and then they, you know, pass stool on the cars, and people complain, and then they'll trim the trees or try to get rid of the birds, or they'll cut down the trees again. You know, like
they
that.
They should not have been bothered
from the beginning. Yeah, but, you know, you're trying to be nice and natural. And natural means it's natural the way you like it, you know. It means the easiest thing would just be, you know, outside every window you have this special... Oh, maybe that's it. No, not plant... That, yeah, that would be the German way of doing it, but that would work. It should be that people have these... It means a company that makes these things, that the size of the window are a little bigger than the window. Mm-hmm. And you bolt them onto the walls, and it sticks out a few feet mm-hmm. like that. Then you have this great, you know, natural scenery on it.
Vista.
Yeah, some vista like that, with some kind of lighting so you can't tell and all that. And depending upon the day, and you know, then it, you put a little bit more light on it and stuff like that. Or, you know, or if you want the days longer, it'll go. If you want to lecture, you know, it's like that. It would be big business, no?
Yeah. I'm just asking because I know people that live in a forest and they live in a village, like in the forest. They never live on their own with a hut and all this stuff.
Yeah, so?
So is that a village or a forest?
It is.
Depends. Is there a whole social scene or they're on their own doing spiritual life?
Yeah, they're doing spiritual. What's both? I mean, if there's people together, it's going to be such a...
And this one example is throwing off the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
Means a few. And few generally is within... Can you count a few on one hand, or you need two? And that throws it off. So... And if their purpose is living out there because it's natural and simple and they're just engaged in spiritual activities. So that would be mode of goodness.
Okay. But they didn't go out there to do that. They just happen to become devotees, like while they're already there. So is that the same?
Are we going to break this down into times of day or...
No, I'm just trying to find out if that's the same as the example that's, that we're...
The point
about.
Is what is it in context with? Yes, and this chapters are about what?
Performing devotional service.
Yes, ultimately, but in what is the medium that they're using for this devotional service?
Varnashram.
Mm-hmm. That's what all these chapters are on. That's the discussion. Yeah. So then, who lives in the forest? Right, the brahmacharis, the vanaprastas, and the sannyasis.
Yeah.
So it's not that they don't have the kind of their own scene, but are these people living like that?
No. They have families and stuff there.
Yes, but is it about the sadhana and everything like that? That's the main point. They don't have an occupation other than doing their sadhana and collecting things from the forest?
Yeah, that's what they're doing.
They do. So then that would be goodness.
Okay.
But as it goes and starts to develop and... they bring in electricity and Wi-Fi, then it moves into the village category.
Yeah, that's the thing they have.
Yeah, so now they're a village.
Okay.
Okay. We're good now.
Yeah.
Okay.
So Wi-Fi is the.
Wi-Fi. That's it. That's the one. Yeah. That's where you can tell. Okay. Yeah. Especially if it's 4G. Then it's an extremely small city.
Metropolis.
Yeah. Oh, micropolis. Yes.
Thank you for going through that.
Okay. You might want to thank everybody else also. They also said.
We should add this to Srila Prabhupada's purpose.
Okay, yes.
Wi-Fi.
Wi-Fi, yes, yes. In a footnote. Yes, okay. But when one lives in the temple community, he lives in Vaikuntha. Therefore, it is said here, Shreyasam Padam, it is the best, most auspicious place. So someone may want to move more out, you know, into the suburbs or, you know, Whoop Whoop or wherever it is that they want to move to. But the point is, this is about community. If you can have association of devotees, then that's an auspicious situation. And if you can't, then what's the point?
Yeah.
right? Then you have to do all that stuff yourself. If you're doing yourself, your family's doing all those things, then it also becomes like that. But that's the idea of community, then it's much easier, you know, because you have that community support. In many places throughout the world, we are constructing communities to give shelter to devotees and worship the deity in the temple, right? So notice that the community and the temple were in the same sentence here. And Prabhupada mentioned this before devotees actually caught the understanding of community. Does that make sense? So Prabhupada always expected the two to work together. It's not that it's temple, no community, or if there's community, you don't need a temple. Right? Like that. Okay. The deity cannot be worshipped except by devotees. Temple worshippers who fail to give importance to the devotees are third class. They are Kanishta Adhikaris in the lower stage of spiritual life. So it's just, it's about the temple and they don't appreciate the community or engaging them and this and that, then that's a neophyte mentality. The whole idea is that it's about devotees, engaging devotees. Because it mentions that the deity worship is for the neophytes, then, and they think that only they can do it, then that makes them the neophytes. But otherwise, then the deity works for the community. So the community's involved. So it's for bringing making the neophytes stable. That's why it says it's for neophytes, because by following deity worship, you become steady. You come to the Madhyama platform. So, yeah? Narada Muni continued. The sacred lakes like Pushkara and places where saintly persons live, like Kurukshetra, Gaya, Prayag, Pulahashrama, Naimisharanya, the banks of the Falgu River, Setabanta, Prabhash, Dwarka, Varanasi, Mathura, Pampa, Bindu Sarova, Bhadarik Ashrama, Narayan Ashrama, the places where the Nanda River flows, the places where Lord Ramachandra and Mother Sita took shelter, such as Chitrakoot, and also the hilly tracts of land known as Mahendra and Malaya. All of these are to be considered most pious and sacred. Similarly, places outside India where there are centers of the Krishna conscious movement and where Radha Krishna deities are worshipped must all be visited and worshipped by those who want to be spiritually advanced. Footnote 20. In his word-for-word translation, Srila Prabhupada writes, Arshta Ashrita, places where the deity of Radha Krishna is worshipped, such as big American cities like New York, Los Angeles, and San Francisco, and European cities like London, Paris, or wherever there are centers of Krishna consciousness. One who intends to advance his spiritual life may visit all these places and perform ritualistic ceremonies to get results 1,000 times better than the results of the same activities performed any other place. Srila Prabhupada comments. In these verses and in verse 29, stress is given to one point. Harer archa shritas chaye, or harer archa. In other words, any place where the deity of the Supreme Personality of Godhead is worshipped by devotees is most significant. The Krishna conscious movement is giving the population of the entire world a chance to take advantage of Krishna conscious through the ISKCON centers, where one may perform deity worship and chant the Hare Krishna Maha Mantra, and in this way obtain results with effectiveness increased 1,000 times. This constitutes the best welfare activity in human society. This was Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu's mission, as it was predicted by him in Chaitanya Bhagavat, Antyalila 4.126. Prithivi te ache jato nagaradigram sarvatra pachar hoibe mornam. Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu wanted the Hare Krishna movement with installed deities to spread to every village and town in the world, so that everyone in the world might take advantage of this movement and become all auspicious in spiritual life. So makes sense. So, therefore, we can see is that even the benefit that one can get is like being in the dhamma. You get 1,000 times the benefit. Right? So, unless, Prabhupada is saying, by the dhamma 1,000 times, it means 1,000 times above the 1,000 times. So just being anywhere in the world, you get 1,000 times by the temple or the community, so then Mayapur is even 1,000 times more than that. In any case, but the specialness is it's always like that here, whether anybody's recognizing it or not. But that place where devotees congregate, that place gets spiritual, that has that potency. But if they're not there, then it's just another place on Google Maps. You know, that's it. Doesn't have any importance. Narad Muni continued, O King of the Earth, it has been decided by expert, learned scholars that only the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, in whom all that is moving or non-moving within this universe is residing, and from whom everything is coming, is the best person to whom everything must be given. Srila Prabhupada comments, wherever we perform some religious act in terms of dharma, artha, kama, and moksha, we must perform it according to the time, place, and person. Kala desh patra, right? So person and circumstance are the same. In the modern, we say circumstance, and we keep it always outside ourself, because it's like, why are you doing this? Well, what can I do? Time, place, and circumstance. I'm not in control of that. Right? So it's nothing to do with me. They impersonally separate themselves. But the Vedic is personal. Time, place, and person. Right? So, according to the person, meaning you, and then interacting with the other persons there, that's how you deal with the time and place. So it's a very different approach. Right? That's why then Varnashram is the natural thing. Well, generally time, place, and circumstance is the first quote that's used to go against Varnashram. But, you know, which is alright if you're a Buddhist or a Mayavadi. But even they would follow some regulations. So therefore, even they wouldn't accept you. So I'm not sure who will. But don't worry. Your mother still loves you. Yes.
I didn't quite catch that one about this.
About your mother loving you? at least it used to be a historic kind of natural kind of tendency like that. Nowadays it's another thing like that. But in other words, before it was kind of like the baby became the center of attention rather than being an accessory. Mm-hmm. You know, so... It's not that point. Oh, okay.
Sorry. I'm not so good in expressing myself. The circumstance and that's me. And then
the circumstance means you in connection with the environment. So we take it as just the environment and leave ourselves out of it. Do you have responsibility? Why are you doing like that? Oh, what can I do? It's the circumstance. Rather than, what should I be doing in that circumstance? That's the meaning of patra. It's circumstance, but it's what you as an individual should be doing in that circumstance. That's not there. Does that make sense? Yeah.
So that means we need education.
Yes. Therefore, the Vedic system is you're educated. That's what. Therefore, the first thing stage in life is education. Then, after education, then one applies that in family life. But without education, then family life will be sentimental. And then the problem is the more the family grows, the more sentiments going off in different directions. You know what I'm saying? And most people these days, their moral compass doesn't point north. So therefore, whoever thinks they're the head of the family and everybody should base their standards on them doesn't work. Does that make sense? Yeah. So it's not a good system. So that's why then one has to follow standards and then bring your life in line with that. So that's the difference. If I say time, place, and circumstance in the modern context, it's up to me. But if we say time, place, and person, according to the Vedic, that means it's not up to you, it's up to what you should be doing. That's the difference.
Yeah, we have two authorities there. One has the authority of mind, the other has the authority of
action. Yes, so the whole point is when Krishna is the authority, Guru, Sadhu, and Shastra, then it's a whole different approach, what you'll do than the other. Even if it looks the same, it'll be different. Right? You're out traveling in the car, you're going to the bathroom with your shoes on, you don't wash your feet, you just wash your hands. Why? Because to do that would be worse. You know what I'm saying? How would you do it? You take your shoes off, wash your feet. You put your feet back on the floor, it's still good. So it's just not even worth trying. But why would you be even considering it? Because as a Brahmin, then you follow the Brahminical standards of cleanliness. So the only thing that can actually be affected is washing your hands and mouth. Right? But now when you get home and you take your shoes off, then you're going to wash your feet and do everything like that. But now, because you wore your shoes, didn't wash your feet there, then when you go home, also you don't, because you're just being practical. then when we say person, then we're meaning Malecha and Yavara. Yeah.
Malecha stances.
Your Malecha stances, yes, yes, yes. Okay. Okay. Narad Muni has already described the desha, place, and kala, time. The kala has been described in verses 20 through 24, beginning with the words ayane, vishuve kuryad, vyatipate dinakshaye. And the places for giving charity for performing ritualistic ceremonies have been described in verses 30 through 33, beginning with sharamshi pushkaradhini kshetran yarhashritanyuta. Now to whom everything must be given is decided in this verse. Harir evaika urvisha yanmayam vai characharam. The Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna, is the root of everything, and therefore he is the best patra, or person to whom everything must be given. So therefore, we as patra give everything to Krishna as patra, as the Supreme Patra. Does that make sense? So that brings it even further. How that defines it that way, because then patra means Krishna. So then what you should do, it should be according to Krishna's pleasure. And then Krishna's pleasure in that time and in that place. Right? Does that make sense? Yeah. Yeah. So in other words, the modern is atheistic or impersonal. The Vedic then brings it to personal, but it's just pious. And then what Narad Muni is doing, then he brings it to the devotional. So, yeah. Narad Muni continued, O King Yudhishthira, the demigods, many great sages and saints, including even the four sons of Lord Brahma, and I myself, were present at your Rajasuya sacrificial ceremony. But when there was a question of who should be the first person worshipped, everyone decided upon Lord Krishna, the Supreme Person. The entire universe, which is full of living entities, is like a tree whose root is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Achyuta, Krishna. Therefore, simply by worshipping Lord Krishna, one can worship all living entities. 35 to 36, Srila Prabhupada comments. As stated in a previous verse, it has been decided, niruktam, by expert saintly persons, that Krishna is the root of everything, and that worshipping Krishna is worshipping everyone. Just as supplying water to the root of a tree means satisfying all of its branches and twigs. Another point is that this universe is full of living entities from top to bottom. On every planet, jiva rasi bhir akir naha. Modern scientists and so-called scholars think that there are no living entities on planets other than this one. Recently, they have said that they have gone to the moon but did not find any living entities there. But Srimad Bhagavatam and the other Vedic literatures do not agree with this foolish conception. There are living entities everywhere, but jiva rasi bihi, many millions of living entities. Even on the sun there are living entities, although it is a fiery planet. The chief living entity on the sun is called Vivasvan. Imam Vivasvate Yogam Proktavan Ahamavyayam. Bhagavad Gita 4.1. All the different planets are filled with different types of living entities according to different living conditions. To suggest that only this planet is filled with living entities and others are vacant is foolish. This betrays a lack of real knowledge. Okay. Yes, so just as Krishna is the root, so everything goes back to him, so unless it's connected to him, it won't work. You can try, it probably gives the example, you try to water the leaves separately, it doesn't do a whole lot, right? You have to water the root. So when you water the root, then all the branches, twigs, leaves, and flowers, they're all satisfied. So in the same way, as that's how it'll work for us. When we do whatever we're doing in connection with Krishna to please him, that's how it's going to work. Right? But the focus has to be on that, not on ourselves. It means we accommodate ourselves because that's what we're working with. But it's not about ourselves. Right? Like we're cooking. We're using pots and spoons and that, but it's not about the pots and spoons. It's about cooking. So if we put all the emphasis on the cooking, I mean on the pots and all that, then yes, it means what you cook in the pot, so the pot's the most important. You understand? It sounds logical, but in reality it's totally off. So that's why then it's not about our situations, it's how we're using those situations in Krishna's service. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
Narad Muni continued. The Supreme Personality of Godhead has created many residential places like the bodies of human beings, animals, birds, saints, and demigods. In all of these innumerable bodily forms, the Lord resides with the living entity as Paramatma. Thus he is known as the Purushavatara. O King Yudhishthira, the super soul in every body gives intelligence to the individual soul according to his capacity for understanding. Therefore, the super soul is the chief within the body. The super soul is manifest to the individual soul according to the individual's comparative developments of knowledge, austerity, penance, and so on. Right? So it's about how we're surrendering to the Lord. So according to their individual's comparative development. That's how then their capacity to understand is. That's what it's based on. So since animals can only produce certain austerities and penance, their knowledge is only revealed in that way. Right? So a monkey lives the austere life of living in a tree. Right? So because of that, the only knowledge that's revealed is how they can run and jump through trees without killing themselves. Does that make sense? Monkeys run through the trees every day. No one writes any books about it. One human being is swinging through the trees and they write books about it. Right? You know what I'm saying? So the point is their knowledge is in capacity to what they do, what their austerity is. And so the living entity, when he takes up devotional service, if he takes up following the Vedic culture, then he's giving that Vedic understanding. He follows devotional service, he's given that understanding. Like that. Does that make sense? But according to their capacity. Does that make sense?
The capacity, is that according to one's surrender, sincerity?
Yes. Like monkeys, they're totally surrendered to living in a tree and jumping around in trees. So they get their knowledge is revealed. You see him. He says, you're sitting there on the road, right? You're standing there in Lloyd Bazaar, okay? And let's say, if you wanted to go up on the roof, what would you do? You'd look around, if there's some stairs, this and that, then who's locked the door and this. The monkey just looks like that, and then in a second, they're up there. They saw there's this wall, there's this pillar, there's this guy's head, there's this and that, and that, and then he's on the roof. Where did that brain come from? What's her name? Yeah, oh well. Angelina Jolie would be proud. Right? I'm saying, so these guys are, these guys are good. Guys, running around in Paris, they got a ways to go. They're good, but not as good as the monkeys. You know what I'm saying? So that's the thing. Krishna gives that intelligence. Right? Okay. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki. Jai. Samaveta Bhaktivinoda ki. Jai Nitai Gaura Premaki.